Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with ESPN draft analyst Jordan Reed, and we are a week away from the draft. I can't believe that it's literally next week that we're going to be talking all weekend about who the Bengals will be selecting. And I wanted to have Jordan on today because I have narrowed my list down to five guys that I think could make sense for the Bengals. And I always like to do that before I reveal my mock draft. And unlike you, I do one, because the way I think about it is, without the knowledge of some of these guys, like you guys have been able to study for so long, I feel like when you start doing six or seven or eight, it almost feels like sometimes you're just picking a new person for the sake of picking a new person. And like, do you actually believe in that person? And I think that mocks after free agency are really important, because anything before then it's hard to tell if that could be legit, because you just don't know what the team is going to do in free agency. So I do one, and I'm going to reveal it next week. And before that, I have a piece coming out, Bengals fans, in the paper on Sunday, and it'll be out on Cincinnati.com and in the app later this week. But I want to talk about the five prospects who I said could make sense. So let's start off with, I feel like to this point, he's probably been the most popular player mocked to the Bengals, which means it's probably not going to happen. And that is Alabama linebacker Jihaad Campbell. Tell me a little bit more about Campbell and why that pick could make sense for the Bengals despite their glaring needs on the defensive line.
Yeah, well, you picked a great one. This is one of my favorite players in the draft class overall. And interestingly enough, he actually came to Alabama playing primarily defensive end during his high school career. So being transitioned to off-ball linebacker was something that he had to learn. But you can see every single year during his career with the Crimson Tide, he just continued to ascend and get better. And then this year, he really blossomed when he got his opportunity to play a bulk of the snaps. And I was there for that LSU game where he had 14 tackles, 1.5 of sacks, and then a bunch of tackles for loss as well. So he's about 6'3", 245 pounds. He's really rangy, really good at pass coverage as well. And then that defensive end background really comes into the forefront, just because you can use him off of the edge during those obvious passing downs as well. So he's definitely a three down linebacker that I think his best days are ahead of him. And then just from a Bengals perspective, they have a need in the middle of their defense right now as well, especially losing some key players from a season ago to free agency, some other players that they let go. So Jihaad Campbell really could come in right away and really take a bulk of the snaps.
Give me an NFL comp of Campbell.
So I hate using comps just because people like to envision that player right away. So I just like to say beforehand, it's just a playing style perspective. But he reminds me a lot of Fred Warner for the 49ers, in that he's really rangy. He's such a loose mover. He's really good in pass coverage as well. So he reminds me a lot of Fred Warner. Not saying he's going to be that guy right away. Just talking about this from strictly a playing style perspective.
I hear you. I understand why you're hesitant to do that, but it just helps me visualize what this player could be for the Bengals. They have needed better linebacker play for the past two seasons. I did an interview with Duke Tobin back in January at the Senior Bowl, and he admitted to maybe running it back with the same guys from the Super Bowl a year too long. And it was really interesting to me that he said that, because then they've done really nothing in free agency to fix the linebacker spot, which tells me they see the draft being where they can get, I think they'll probably come around with two in this year's class. Before we move on to the other players, big picture, tell me about this linebacker class beyond Campbell.
Well, it's not great, honestly, outside of Campbell. And then also,
man, that makes even more sense for them to take him at 17.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He is the crown jewel of this year's class. After that, you have guys like Carson Schwesinger at UCLA, who will probably go in the second round. Demetrius Knight out of South Carolina. He's another that's really intriguing as well. Then after that, you have Danny Stutzman out of Oklahoma, who's a really intriguing player. Chris Paul Jr. Out of Ole Miss, who's a bit undersized, but really active and instinctive. And then you have some other late round players that I like quite a bit, like Smile Mundon Jr. out of Georgia. So it's not a lot of marquee names at the top. I think we only get one linebacker in the first round in this year's class, which is Campbell. And then you're going to have a couple guys that go maybe late day two and then the early day three.
From what I read also, and again, I don't have, you know, a scout's notebook. Are there any red flags associated with Campbell other than the injury that he's dealing with and that he could potentially, I mean, most likely not be able to participate maybe until training camp? Is that really the only red flag, or are there some other things that teams are going to have to account for?
No, that was it. And I mean, it's not a red flag. It's just the injury that happened to him, and he went ahead and just got the surgery. It was a torn labrum in his left shoulder. He had a sling on at pro day, which caught a lot of people by surprise, including myself and some of the scouts that were there as well. So it's not something that's going to, you know, hinder his career or anything like that. It's just a delayed start as far as when he's going to be a full participant.
Okay. So let's move on to defensive line prospects. Let's start with a guy who I think right now, if I had to pick between two players, I'm going back and forth between Jihad Campbell and Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. And the more I read about him, and I know you say you're hesitant about the comps, but I read a profile on him and they compared him to Cam Hayward to some degree. And bells like went off in my head. Because having covered the Bengals now for a couple years, there might not be one player who has wrecked more games against the Bengals than Cam Hayward. And if you ask Zach Taylor, like anytime they play the Steelers, yes, TJ Watt, you have to account for him, but you can give help to, you know, your tackles. What Cam Hayward has done to the Bengals and everyone in his career, like, especially with the need at D-tackle big time, they have not gotten that position right in the last couple of years, and they need to get it. I don't know much about his game because I didn't watch a lot of Oregon other than when they played Ohio State and then the college football playoffs. Tell me about Harmon, and I'm hoping that you're going to convince me that he should be my pick next week.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a very common player and then also team fit for a lot of mock drafts that you'll see leading up to the draft, just because it makes so much sense. He actually started his career at Michigan State, didn't get a whole bunch of playing time there, but he really blossomed during his one and only season at Oregon. He did a really good job of investing in himself. He cut down a bunch of weight as well. You could tell just because he moved so much better last year. He's a really good pass rusher, really stout against the run. If there was one thing I would say on the scouting report that he needs to improve on, it's just finishing plays. He has a lot of times of where he's able to get into the backfield, but he's just simply not able to finish with bringing guys down to the ground. So that's one thing that of note that he does need to improve upon. But if he's there at 17, I think you don't waste any time turning in the card. I think he's a fantastic fit in Cincinnati.
What is his biggest strength?
Well, just causing disruption. He can take on double teams. He's really good against single blocks as well, as far as defeating those guys one-on-one. And that's what you want. You want somebody that can just constantly penetrate the first level. That's really something that has been lacking in Cincinnati. And he's going to be able to bring that consistently on a down and down out basis.
Because the Bengals situation is when they lost DJ Reader last year in free agency, they opted not to replace him and tried to go with the Sheldon Rankin, smaller but different style. And then they drafted two players in the second and third round in Chris Jenkins and McKinley Jackson. And Sheldon Rankins, that didn't work out. He had an injury that basically kept him out for majority of the season. And then when he did play, he didn't really give them any production. And then Chris Jenkins and McKinley, they it's too early to say exactly what they are, but from the time that they did get, they don't strike me as like your dominant pass rushing interior player, the game wrecker in the middle that they need. And then they went out and signed TJ Slayton to basically be their run stuffing nose tackle. So I'm sitting here asking myself, as are a lot of listeners and fans, where is the pass badly needed in the middle of the pocket? And would Harmon immediately be able to give them that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's his specialty, his ability to push the pocket and constantly penetrate. He's a down-in, down-out pass rusher. He's not somebody that's going to give you all he's got on two downs as a run defender, and then you have to take him off of the field like a TJ Slayton on third down. He's somebody that can play all three downs, and he pairs really well with TJ Slayton. And I think they kind of revealed their hand a little bit as far as what they want to do in the draft, just because you go ahead and get that one technique, that fit guy in the middle like a TJ Slayton. But you still don't have that consistent three technique opposite of them. So if they get somebody like that, I think that would be a good fit.
Are we breaking news on this podcast? Did you just break news that you might know what the Bengals are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely could be that as well.
Okay. So moving on to sticking with the position, let's talk about Walter Nolan, because when I first went to the Senior Bowl and kind of started like skimming draft stuff, he was probably the most popular player mocked to the Bengals at that time. And now I've seen him fall almost even to the second round in some mock drafts. We know about some of his character concerns. From keeping, you know, the big picture in mind, what are your thoughts on Walter Nolan and the Bengals at pick 17?
Yeah, well, he's a player that I'm higher on than most people. He's actually my number 12 overall player on my big board, just because when you talk about explosive power, that definitely is what I like to call his superpower. That's his A-plus trait. And the name of the game, especially as a defensive tackle, is how consistently can you affect the pocket? And what we saw with the Philadelphia Eagles is that if you have those constant pass rushers that can just come and affect quarterbacks in waves, I definitely think there's a lot of value for a player like that. Now, he does need to get better as far as a run defender, taking on double teams and being stopped at the point of attack. That's something that I think is going to take some coaching with him. And that's not to say that he's bad at it. I just think there's some areas of where he needs to improve in that area. But when we're talking about somebody that has that explosive power and being able to affect the quarterback consistently, I think he's one of the better pass rushers overall in this year's class.
Okay. Is he – so the Bengals ran into a little bit of a situation last year where they took Jermaine Burton in the third round knowing his red flags. Didn't go well his rookie season.
Yeah, not at all.
Some of those red flags proved to really follow through. And so I think given the Bengals not making the playoffs the last 2 years, the pressure is on the Bengals front office and coaching staff to get at least these top three picks right. And they need them to come in and play right away. And I know that you shouldn't take positions, but in my opinion, of the three picks, two need to be defensive starters, or else it's hard to see how this defense is just magically going to get better with the new coordinator. Is Walter Nolan's, from what you know, Walter Nolan's character issues that have been documented in these pre-draft profiles significant enough that you think it will deter teams from taking him? Or is it one of those things where it's like Jalen Carter, for example, where, you know, people had a lot to say about him and that pick seemed to really work out for the Eagles?
Well, I'm sure they definitely have done their homework as far as whatever has happened in the background with Walter. I haven't heard anything as far as like extreme red flags with him that's going to affect his career negatively or anything like that, in my honest opinion. But with him, I think you need to have a veteran locker room around him. I think that's something that's going to be very key and very important to him. But for the Bengals' sake, if there's any hint of a red flag, I don't even think a guy like that is going to be on their board. Not speaking of Walter, just in general of a prospect. that has any inkling of a red flag just because of what happened with Burton. And then I think you hit the nail on the head as far as them needing to hit on these picks, especially when your offense is as expensive as it is, as you are a quarterback, and then also with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase signing their new deals, you have to bring in and trust your process of drafting and developing these starters that you're getting in the draft.
Right. And that's why the Harmon pick to me seems more and more like the pick. They might have Walter Nolan higher on their board from a sheer talent standpoint, but they cannot afford to have a situation where, you know, the Burton thing was so bad. They can't afford that, especially with a position, you know, Burton, it was okay because their receiver room was so good. They were able to withstand it, but not at that position. The depth just isn't there. I would love to be a fly on the wall if they're about to get on the clock and those two guys are there.
Yeah.
What they do. But so let's move on to sticking with the defensive line, but let's go out to the edge. And if you would ask me at the beginning of the year, after the Bengals season is over, what position they're going to draft in the first round, I would have said 100% D tackle or edge. And then things took a turn for the worse even more at edge. Sam Hubbard retired, which he was going to get cut if that didn't happen, likely. And the Trey Hendrickson situation. We don't have to get into it right now, but I don't think that one's as easy to just expect everything to just be all jolly there. And that's what I'm going to say. So there is a chance that this edge guy, if they do draft one, we'll need to play a significant amount of snaps week one. Tell me about these two guys. Because in my opinion, I think Mike Green's going to be gone by 17. I think Michael Williams probably going to be gone. I think he'll be someone who just shoots up on draft night. So I think here are the edge players that I think could be available. And you tell me what you think about these guys. James Pierce from Tennessee, Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, and who am I blanking on? Who else would you put in that conversation?
You could put Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just starting with Stewart, he's the epitome of height, weight, speed guy at 6'5", 270 pounds. He ran super fast time at the combine in the 4.6s, jumped out of the gym. I think he jumped 40, if I'm not mistaken. And then also the thing with him is that just a lack of production during his time at Texas A&M, he only had 1.5 sacks last year. So it's like, why is this guy that's a super athlete, that's very twitchy and very athletic, why is the production so minimal with him? So you're taking a risk on the production eventually catching up with the traits with him. So I don't know if they're going to be willing to take a risk on a player like that, especially in a draft class like this, of where you definitely need to get on a guy like that. So it's going to take a little bit of development with him, as it is with every guy. But I think there's a little bit more of what I like to call cleaner prospects. As far as exactly what you're getting with a lot of these guys, like Ezeraku, who had a phenomenal senior season. Even though he doesn't have the athleticism that a Shamar Stewart may have, I think he's more seasoned and more nuanced and detailed as a pass rusher right now. And I mean, 16.5 sacks versus 1.5 sacks. I'm not great at math, but that's a huge difference as far as the production with both of those guys. So Ezeraku obviously has more production. And then with Stewart, it's just a matter of, do you have the runway as far as developing him? And then just touching on the other two that you mentioned with Mykael Williams, who's another athletic marvel that just didn't have a lot of production. He has all the measurables that you want to see out of him. But like Stewart, even though the production wasn't as bad or wasn't as minimal, I should say, as him, I think he's much better as a run defender right now than what Stewart is coming out. And then with Pierce, he's lighter than some of the other rushers. So I don't know if he's specifically going to be their type as far as the scheme and fitting the scheme as far as what they want out of their edge rushers.
If you had a pick out of those edge rushers, say Harmon's off gone, Campbell's gone, who'd you pick for the Bengals there?
Ooh, you put me on the spot.
Let me add a wrinkle to that question.
With
Al Golden leadership of the defense and knowing maybe how he wants to rush the passer compared to what they were doing last year.
Yeah. So if Harmon's gone, Campbell's gone, I probably would go with Mykael Williams. I just think he fits the defense really good. You know what you're getting as a run defender already. And then even though he's not as seasoned as a pass rusher right now, I definitely think he's going to end up eventually being what you want him to be.
Another thing when talking about the Bengals and some of these guys who are all about the traits but don't necessarily have the production, Bengals also can't afford to take one of those guys because that's kind of what happened with Miles Murphy. And mm-hmm. they're still waiting for the light to turn on with him. I mean, he had zero sacks last year. He's got all of the athletic, physical traits. That's what they were really excited about when they drafted him. But it hasn't really clicked. And so I don't know if that would maybe scare them from taking one of these guys who doesn't have as proven numbers and has all these physical traits. But, like, they need someone who can come in, play opposite of Trey, and 100% deliver. And they don't have time. Yes, nobody's going to come in and be the player that they are in week one, that they are week 17, the rookie season. But they don't have time to, you know, put the training wheels on this guy in the first round if they're taking a defensive lineman.
Right, right. And that's the biggest thing. You want to make sure you hit on those picks. You want those instant impact starters right away.
If I have two more questions for you. If some of those guys, the ones that we've talked about, are off the board, and say the Bengals have like a Malachi Starks or a guard, for example, mm-hmm. on their board. Do you look at it as they have to take a defensive lineman or a linebacker for it to be a successful first round pick for them? Or do you believe like some of those guys, and you maybe be able to tell me about maybe some other players that I'm not talking about that can be impact players right away?
I mean, you never want to pigeonhole yourself into one position. So if you have Malachi Starks ranked ahead of Derek Harmon or some of these other players, you always want to take the best player available that makes the most sense to you. So if Malachi Starks is ranked ahead of Harmon, of course you want to go ahead and take Starks. But obviously if one of those guys are off of the board and Derek Harmon is your top ranked player, then you want to stick to that best player available theory.
Awesome. Well, we know you have some other things to get to today, so we will wrap it up there. Thanks so much, Jordan.
All right. Thank you.